Lance and Cowboy, Mingo Saldivar, and sus tremendos cuatro espadas interview. Hope you're learning. Hope you're enjoying it. Please let us know. You can leave us comments on rancholatedtexas.com and give us some feedback, because we have a lot more interviews. And if there's someone you want us to interview specifically, be sure to drop us a line. Thank you very much, and let's continue the interview. Rancho Later Radio. Okay, we're here at Rancho Later Radio, here with Mingo Saldivar. I am Baldomero, el Parrandero Coyar. And, Cantina Music. I'm sure you heard that. That was the label that Conjunto had back in the day, Cantina. A lot of people shunned away from it. Did you ever experience any of that?
Oh, most definitely.
Yeah?
Most definitely. Back then, if you remember, the big, big giant orchestras were the thing.
Oh, yes.
And then that kind of put Conjunto Music, we used to have to go to the corner behind a building and play.
Wow.
So the other people would not hear us. And when they did hear us, hey, get away with it. You're making too much noise. And the orchestras were in. But finally, and I'm so glad that I saw all these changes throughout my life. Thank God, because it shows how, and I always compare country and Western music to Conjunto Music when it was called Hillbilly, and Conjunto, who was not cool at all.
Right.
And to what's become of Conjunto. And actually, it became very important, but it was, like you said, Cantina Music.
Right.
And it was not 10, 12, or 14 people. It was just two or three guys, the accordion, the bajo sexo, and the upright bass.
Right.
And they put you in a little corner. And we played in a lot of places like that. And they used to sneak us in to play into, because we were not old enough, and to play in places where the women danced and for a nickel.
Oh, okay.
With the customers.
Right.
And we played, and then we played in one cantina first, and then they were shoulder-to-shoulder cantinas. It was called Boys Town back then, where Produce Row used to be.
Right, right, right.
It's all, you know, it was very different. San Antonio was back then. It was, we played in El Cinco de Mayo, Rositas, Leopardos, Los Tres Reyes. There was just on and on and on.
Right.
Shoulder cantinas, and we played in all of them.
Wow.
And of course, the ladies would tip us a nickel at the end of the whole thing. The sets were short, and other young bands would come in and do the same. And they would ask us to please make the songs short so they could make more nickels.
Right.
You know, when I go around two times, and the cantina was small, like right here.
Right.
When I go there the second time, stop the polka. I get my nickel, then another one.
Wow.
So, and we were up to date with all the rules that they had. And of course, it was off limits to all military.
Ah, I see.
You know, but once in a while, you would see a uniform here and there. But it was a fun place, that area.
Right.
But still, it was Cantina Music. And until later, when, when the other conjuntos, I'm trying to think, Paulino Bernal, mm-hmm. Tony La Rosa, one of the first conjuntos that started touring.
Right.
Professionally.
Eligio Escobar también, ¿verdad?
Eligio, Linda's dad. Yeah. In fact, we used to back him up. Uh-huh. Los Guadalupanos used to back up
Eligio.
And Linda, she was like 7 or 8 years old. She used to stand up on a chair and sing.
Qué cosa.
We used to back her up.
Qué cosa.
They were from Alice, Texas.
Wow.
And so things went on and on, and later than sooner, it became more popular and more popular. The accordion did, and the bass, upright bass, and the bajo, and then of course, by then, the drums came into the picture.
Wow!
And then, of course, the electric bass replaced Tololoche, because it was easier to carry, I guess. No. Pero things changed for the better for the music, but I definitely remember when the accordion was uncool.
And in that same story right there, I want to talk about something that's been on my mind, and I feel you're the person to ask, that you were out there. You know, it was a different time in aquel tiempo. Siendo nosotros hispanos, tejanos, did you ever encontrar any racism as far as, you know, you can't stay in our hotel, you know, o cosancina?
Oh, yes.
Was there? If you want to touch on that? Because I feel, I'm not trying to bring back sour memories. It's something that everyone needs to understand. Because exactly. The way I see it, como dice el dicho, we're doomed to repeat if we forget.
Exactly.
And I don't want ever for anyone to go through that.
I don't either.
And you want to touch up on any stories of that?
Well, I'll tell you a little story.
Okay.
Of course, we saw a lot of that the further north we traveled.
Okay.
In the 49, 50.
Uh-huh.
I had never seen Mexicanos in Truman, Minnesota. There's a town there, Winnebago, Minnesota. There was only one family, Mexicanos, and they had been in there for years, and they were still having problems.
Wow.
So we saw that. But here, not too far from here, I remember one time going to play New Braunfels at a they were having a baseball game in a famous, I think it was called West End Park in New Braunfels. We're going to play there in 49, you know, or 50, and I think it was 49. We needed to stop somewhere on the road, and there was two cars. I think there was two bands, actually, and there was two cars. We were following another car,
mm-hmm.
and we stopped at a Rexall drugstore,
uh-huh.
and because that's where we used to buy strings in San Antonio, at a drugstore like that,
uh-huh.
but on the west side.
Right.
So we saw the store and said, we'll stop. They'll have strings there. We needed one string for the guitar.
Right.
So we stopped, and I remember going in there, and it took me a while to understand this. It took me weeks to understand it when I got home, and I told my dad about this.
Right.
But I went in there, and the chaperone went with me, with a gentleman, uh-huh. But stayed behind me, and I went to the counter, and right away I told the person that was there, I want to buy a guitar string. And I don't know if it was a woman. It was a man that was there, and he said, he asked me, did you read the sign on the door? I said, no. What sign? They go, that sign over there. There was a sign. I was looking at the back of it because uh-huh. the door was,
right.
I was inside the place. And it was not a printed sign with a magic marker. It was made by a printing company,
wow.
a professional
uh-huh.
sign. And he said, we do not trade with Spanish people.
Wow.
Told me right out.
Wow.
And I couldn't get it. I said, so I'm sorry. And I said, what's going on? I guess I'm going to get the string. So I walked out. And the guy, the chaperone, didn't hear this stuff, so I told him what was happening, and then he says, oh, yeah, they got one of those signs. So he had seen a sign like that before. I had not.
Wow.
And came home, and we did the gig, whatever. We got a string from somebody else, I guess. But when we got home, I told the story to my dad, and that says, he said a word, you know.
Right, of course.
Okay, yeah. Este pa'e pa'ca. Dijo, tú vas a ver más de eso. Pero por eso, quédate en tu barrio. Por eso, tenemos que quedarnos en el barrio. I said, pues no puedes quedarte en el barrio sin salir del barrio.
Right.
And he explained it to me. And then, of course, when we went going up north, there was only one grocery store who had made a deal. And after the first year, we got used to that because we went to the same rancher all the
right,
time
right.
In different towns. And the deal was made by the rancher. And the government was involved with sending the migrants up north to work. And they had to have a place to buy clothes and buy groceries. And fill up with gas and what have you. So the grocery store was only the one only that we could buy groceries.
Qué cosa, man.
Yeah.
Qué cosa. Y ese es mi punto con los músicos de ahora. They don't realize how good they've got it. And it was for trailblazers como usted that were brave enough to go and, you know, and pave the road para muchos de los de ahora. And this is some of the things I want them to hear. Y también touching up on how rough it is on the road. I mean, muchas veces te hacen la corrida, no les pagan, no les salen corto. You have anything to touch up on that?
Oh, my God. I wouldn't know where to start.
Sí, pasa bastante.
Oh, yeah, we've gone through some of that. Thank God, not a lot of times, but...
Right.
And we've gone through that sometimes in important gigs. Like I remember a debut that happened, it was not that long ago, but I want to say less than 20 years ago, that they didn't pay us the full contract.
Wow.
And but back in the day when there was a lot of good jobs coming in, once in a while a bad one, you would kind of just thank God for the good jobs.
And right.
Well, that's all right. I'll eat that one up.
Right.
But yeah, it happened where, and now when we became aware of contracts and all that, that's why we write contracts just about for everything.
Right.
But you're right about the guy at the door didn't own the place. And he just started making the dance there and charging the people. And of course, the guy that owned the place kept the bar. And at the end of the night, the guy, he would charge if the dance was from 8 to 12. And normally all dances were from 8 to 12. Back then there was not a 2 a.m. license in the picture yet.
Right.
So 1 o'clock would be the latest on Saturdays only.
Right.
Excuse me. Huh? But by 12 o'clock he'd be gone on Saturdays.
Wow.
And it happened, I think, when I was with the Guadalupanos. And sometimes on the road in Arizona, California, we might have gone through something similar to that. But you would never see these guys again.
Right.
They were not like when now it's different.
Right.
The first thing we do now is a promoter calls that I've never heard about, and we check him out through other bands,
right.
And everybody's on the same page. Oh, no, watch out for that guy. Oh, no, he's cool. Whatever he promised you, he'll do it, and he'll will ask you for a contract.
Wow.
So that's cool. On the other hand, there's the guys that, oh, don't even go there, Mingo. And I do the same. I call people and say, I heard you playing at this particular place, and who's making the dance? Oh, John Doe. Oh, man, you better watch it.
Wow.
I had two bad experiences there. Thank you, Mingo. Or thank them for telling me.
Right.
So it's gotten where it's almost common practice for musicians to share information like that.
So
avoid it. But it's happened to everybody. I can guarantee you that.
Yeah. And so any promoters out there, fly-by-nighters, be warned. You know, the músicos se hablan. You know, they're not going to put up with this or play with you. But let's go ahead and take another break. We'll be right back with Mingo Saldivar here on Rancho Leader Radio.
Ni con mil cadenas pueden detenerme para hacerme que te deje yo de amar. Por el mundo yo te seguiré en los pasos y en mis brazos prenda amada vas a estar. Mil cadenas no se me hacen suficientes a este ardiente y este terco corazón. Yo te seguiré queriendo eternamente, no me importa quién se oponga a nuestro amor. Destrozan mi corazón. Mil cadenas, aunque sean de puro acero, y yo las rompo eslabón por eslabón. Música. de amar. Por el mundo yo te seguiré en los pasos y en mis brazos, prenda amada, vas a estar. Mil cadenas no se me hacen suficiente pa' este ardiente y este terco corazón. Yo te seguiré queriendo eternamente, no me importa quién se oponga a nuestro amor. Mil cadenas, mil cadenas, mil cadenas, por tu amor las destroza mi corazón. Cadenas, aunque sean de puro acero, y yo las rompo eslabón por eslabón.
We're back, Rancho Later Radio with Mingo Salivar. And Mingo, what was your relationship con otros grupos, Los Aguilares, Santiago Jiménez, you know, all the greats? I'm sure that you've played double bills with before. You know, ¿qué relación tuviste con?
Oh, wonderful relationship with all of them. Todos los grupos that we've shared bandstands with. Sometimes we borrow their amplifiers or they borrow ours, but it's always a good relationship with 9 out of 10, I'm going to say.
Right. There's always that one, without mentioning names, yeah. que me dicen muchos, pues, they didn't like us to use their equipment, you know, cosas, you know, eso siempre, yeah. Esa es la pregunta.
And sometimes people that, with that attitude have been burnt.
Right.
By another band.
That's true.
You know, I landed the drums, and we couldn't find our snare drum after that,
right.
Or the bass pedal on the bass drum, or just abuse the equipment.
Right,
you know?
So right.
Some of them have good reason to.
Y también, you started, let's say, your own label, Espada Records. How did that come about, and what led you to that decision?
Well, mainly I did it because I wanted to have, I wanted to have a label in case I later on would have a studio, and
right.
Which I looked around me, and I didn't see me doing that,
right.
A studio over the years. But I kept the label, and we recorded in different studios, but on our label.
Right.
And we just, I just wanted to have the band more business-like.
Right,
More professional. And so we started using our label for several albums, back then albums.
Uh-huh.
And I think 8-track tapes also on our label. And I don't know if cassettes came to the picture or not. But the girls helped me. We made a design for an label. And we wanted to call it Espada label,
right.
Because of the group,
right,
the Squad
right.
Espadas, and so.
Y era más libertad, verdad?
Exactly, yeah.
Right.
But also, when you have your own label, you cannot really unless you're giant, you know.
Right.
They're big labels, but you have to stay on top of it,
right?
And
right.
to keep track of it's on our label, and they're selling a ton of this particular number, and yet we can't account for any royalties.
Right,
that comes into the picture
right.
a lot.
So,
and when you're working for a company, recording for another company, the same thing can happen.
Right.
But the label is more known, and that the promotion, because the label is more known, will get you into the radio stations
right,
and airplay
right,
easier than your
right.
own private label.
Y también, when I said, you know, Libertada, you know, I was in less red tape because you were allowed to work with Little Joe, working with Little Joe on this Conjunto album. How was that, you know? Is that a good experience? ¿Te gustó trabajando con Little Joe?
Oh, yeah. It was Little Joe and Willie.
Oh,
when they
yeah.
sang that song, Marie.
Uh-huh.
And that was great. Of course, Little Joe.
Right? Oh, yeah, yeah. Y'all look like I've seen videos. Y'all look like y'all having a great time
yeah.
tocando juntos.
And it's always like that with other bands.
Fíjate.
But it's always good to be a part of a well-known band, of course.
Right, right.
In whether it's Conjunto or Tejano Conjunto, but that was a great gig.
Y también those. I saw videos of you cantando con Valerio. How was that experience?
Cantando? Oh, that was good. That was at, I think it was in Green, Texas.
Oh, yeah.
They did a documentary on music. That was a great experience, of course, with Mr. Longoria. And I think that could have been one of the last times I had a chance to perform.
Wow.
Next to Valerio. We did it before in several other areas, but I think that was the last time before he became ill. But that was, of course, really, really great.
I saw an interview también where you, as a young man, tried to purchase a accordion de Valerio, you know, that sounded like him. And that was an impossibility, ¿verdad? They didn't make them like that. That was his.
Oh, yeah. That story there is, they were asking me. Uh-huh. There was another musician asking me, I'm trying to get an accordion, but I can't find one that sounds like this guy that plays the accordion. That accordion doesn't sound like that. I said, well, who plays an accordion? Who are you talking about? I said, Valerio Longoria is his name, and he's from San Antonio. This was like somewhere, I think it's either California or Arizona.
Uh-huh.
But I said, well, to begin with, you're not going to find an accordion that sounds like that because he tunes his accordion. He gets a brand new from owner. He tunes him his own way. And that's why you hear that sound.
Yeah.
Says, oh, my God. But if you send him an accordion, he might tune it for you.
Oh, okay.
And do that. But I myself love to hear other people play those sounding accordions like that,
right?
Like Valerio's, but I've never been able to play one myself because I noticed the work when you do that work on an accordion,
uh-huh.
and you try to pull it out real fast or push it in real quick, uh-huh. it'll drown out. You won't hear the sound.
Okay.
And I kind of abuse the accordion
sound. Right. Oh yes.
So and Honer, the only thing I do with Honer. And now their owners now doing it. They're doing the things that when you bought a new accordion, you take it to a certain accordion tuner,
right.
and ask him, I want you to soften up the reeds, lower the buttons down, and it comes out like 445 on the tuning with got a lot of vibration. When you have a lot of vibration in an accordion, Baldomero, sooner than later, you're going to break a reed. Because the vibration, one, it's two reeds, and one will vibrate more than the other one.
Right.
And this one doesn't vibrate a lot. This does, to give you that bright sound. So what I do, they bring them down to 440. And now it lasts longer. You must still break a reed or two, but it takes a lot longer than if you don't take that vibration out.
Yeah.
Well, now Honer, they got this gentleman, Gilbert Ray, is working for Honer.
Right.
Man, things have really changed for that company for the better.
Okay.
For everybody's benefit.
Wow.
And now you get the accordions already like that.
Qué cosa?
Yeah.
Qué cosa?
And they make an accordion now with changes where there's a change where you press the button and it'll sound hoarse, you know, almost like the Valerio tuning.
Right, right.
So if you want that sound, you can buy it and it's there. You push the button or take it out.
Qué cosa.
Yeah. And I've got one of those that was given to me as a gift years and years ago. And, of course, I never use it, maybe for big photos or stuff like that. It's too heavy for me. And I'm just used to the workhorse of the industry.
Right. Y también, you're known as the dancing cowboy. We all know why, you know, that you're dancing on stage. And y la pregunta es, where do you get this energy? ¿De dónde? I mean, ¿viene de la gente? ¿Viene, you know, you just get that into it?
That question has been asked forever and ever. And some people in the valley say they did that.
Ah, sí.
On the other hand, in Corpus, no. we called you that first, or Lubbock, Texas.
Right.
And so I don't really know where it came from, but I've always done it, even with the Guadalupanos.
Uh-huh.
I used to move around with the accordion, but it wasn't a two accordion band.
Right.
And there was no wireless.
So, yeah, so you're limited.
So I couldn't get too far away from the microphone. Right. And then the other accordion player, Mr. Jesse Guerrero, was playing the other accordion. So, but I've always moved around and stuff. And then finally, when I had more freedom, I started, you know, dancing with the accordion and stuff. Okay. And then when wireless came into the picture, it was my recipe right there. I love that. So, and I've always like that.
Right.
And I noticed that people like to do.
Oh, yeah.
And some, and I get there's a bajo player, Jesse Garcia.
Uh-huh.
And not all bajo players don't like to go into that.
Right.
But he does. But he's got the attitude for it, the personality for it, and he knows how to do it. And we both do the little show with the accordion and the
right.
bajo players. And also Oscar Garcia will do that. Oscar Tejas would do that, God rest his soul. So we noticed that it attracted the attention of people. It started getting in front of the bandstands and stuff. So it just became part of the whole thing.
Okay. You know? Well, okay, let's go ahead and take another break, get some more music by Mingo Salivar. We'll be right back, Rancho Leader Radio.
1, 2, 3, 4.
We're back here with Mingo Saldivar here in San Antonio, in his beautiful home once again. And Mingo, you know, we Rancho Alegre Radio is proudly from Austin, and we heard that you have some past dealings with KUT, University of Texas in Austin. want to share anything with that experience with us?
Yes, it's been some years back, Este Baldomero. I remember we played live at that radio station. We took all the instruments upstairs, a couple of amplifiers, not the whole drum kit, though.
Right.
But and we did something. Right now, it slips my mind. We were there for something. And I think TFR, we might have been behind this or not, Pat and Rose. But we played live, and I remember way back in the late 40s, in early, early 50s, 50 and 51, 52, that was common, things to happen at radio stations in San Antonio. And I remember back then, like in 48 or 49, I played the upright bass at the Loche.
Oh, yeah.
And that was not easy carrying that thing up.
Of course.
And they were on the second floor on top of the Alameda where the that session was. So, and I hadn't done that since. So it was very interesting to have done that. I remember the year, but it's been some years back.
And the other thing we wanted to touch up, you know, not mentioning names but or nothing, but all. Dancing Cowboy, once again, that was that you were coined the Dancing Cowboy once again, back with Los Guadalupanos, I mean, because of your dancing on stage. Do I have that right?
Well, not with the Guadalupanos.
Oh, wasn't with the Guadalupanos?
It was with Los Cuatro Espadas.
Cuatro Espadas, okay.
75. But I actually don't have a problem with that because we just leave it up to the public.
Right.
And somebody out there named me that and became sort of popular.
Right.
So we did the proper things to register that
right.
in the name of my group and all that. So actually, I'm not very disturbed about that.
Okay.
Because any time that anybody says that term, that that's a cowboy,
right.
I think
they think of
most of the people are going to probably remember Mingo.
That's right.
And so as long as the name is out there, it's fine with me.
Because right. the way I see it, there's only one Si Señor, Rubén Naranjo. There's only
exactamente.
There's only one Añeñe, that's Nick Villarreal, and there's only one Dancing Cowboy.
Exactamente. So we just leave it, I guess,
leave
to the
it
public.
To the public. Yeah. All right. And otra, Walk of Fame, Corpus Christi in June. What was that about?
Well, the girls didn't tell me until about the night. We left in the that day before, but they didn't tell me the day before that that's what it was about. They told me it was a little festival, and I just needed to play a couple or three songs. But finally, on the road over there, they told me what it actually was. It was the to be inducted into the Walk of Fame.
Amazing.
In Corpus Christi, which is a big, big honor. And saw the names on the other stars in the little patio where they have all those
right.
stars. And I was in a really very good company.
Felicidades. That is yeah. great. That is great. Yeah. Y también, you got to meet one of my favorite actors, Kris Kristofferson, and that was for the United Farm Workers. What was that about?
That was in July the 20th. June 22nd, I believe.
Oh, okay.
For the United Farm Workers.
Farm Workers, right.
And this was in San Jose, California. Awesome, awesome gig. And yes, he's always been one of my favorite. It was Tex Maniacs with Mets Baca, and they backed me up with my set.
Oh, okay.
And then Mr. Kristofferson. And like I said, my wife, my late wife, Susie, God bless her, was in love with this man from the word go. And I remember Kris Kristofferson from the festivals in the back in the
Farm Aid festivals?
No, the late 60s through the 70s.
Oh, the
Woodstock.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
A tremendous person, very down to earth.
Oh, yes.
Very talented individual. I met him, and he was there with his wife and his family. So it was an awesome, awesome experience. And it was a benefit for the farm workers of California. Okay. And we were very glad to have been picked
right,
as a part of that show.
Of course. So. And you've also, any other Hall of Fames you remember of or talking about awards?
The latest one was a TMA.
Oh, yes. You were honored by the Town of Music Awards along with Elsa Garcia and Johnny Canales. You were in good company.
Yeah, again, very tremendous company, Mr. Canales and Elsa Garcia. So I was a part of that. And that was...
I heard that when you got up there, you said something about, you know, you had so much fun playing for people that you hated getting paid for it, but I'll get over it. Amazing.
Yeah. Well, when you do something that you really love to do,
right,
then you would do it for nothing.
Right, right.
But then when you do it, and then most of the time you get paid for it, and you feel kind of guilty. But, you know... I get over that.
Such right a blessing, so, that.
Yeah, it works.
And any other Hall of Fames that you've been inducted to? Or?
Well, that was the latest one for a Lifetime Achievement Award.
Okay.
And praise the Lord, over the years we've had awards from Austin. From Austin, one time we got 3 awards on the same night there in Austin. They're a lot up there in the wall.
Right, right.
But,
you have so many of them.
they had a Mingo Saldivar Day,
right.
March 21st of that
great,
year.
Right.
So, life, praise the Lord, has been very good
very
to
good.
Me and my family. Of course, my family's been very supportive of what I do and started really hard. They suffered growing up, so did my wife, God rest her soul.
Yes,
but
yes.
Thanks. Self-perseverance. I hung in there.
Right.
And hung in there. And finally, you know, we were able to make a go of it. And to this day, I love music to death. I just love it.
And another thing I want to ask is, all right, by now, you know, of course, we had our Rancho Alegre Conjunto Festival in Austin.
Okay.
And you've gotten the details. What do you think of it? What do you think of the job we did getting those 3 days going?
I tell you what, Baldomero, to begin with, this is a tremendous idea. This is a step definitely in the right direction. And I think all Tejano musicians, Conjunto musicians, have to be very, very grateful for this. And everybody's becoming aware of it. So Austin, years back, Conjunto Tejano music used to be very much alive.
Oh yes,
and there's some other cities where it seems to have died down.
Right,
and of course, as we speak this day and age, with the economy the way it is, most of it we can understand. But I think you're opening up some doors here. I think you're waking up sleeping giant in that area, and hopefully. We'll be able to support you in whatever you have to do. And along with my fellow musicians, other bands from San Antonio, the Valley, and all over Texas.
Right.
Corpus Christi, Houston, and West Texas, Laredo, because this is, like I said, a step in the right direction. And I believe this is what it's going to take to revive Tejano Conjunto music in that area.
We're so, you know, willing to fight this fight, to bring it back, to preserve it. And you know, hopefully, you know, para el otro año, si Dios quiere, if scheduling's right, te echamos la invitada. You know,
seguro
we would love to have the Dancing Cowboy, you know, show everybody why he's called the Dancing Cowboy.
Bueno, pero we'll be glad, also especially glad because of the benefit that is going to provide for people in our industry, the business, Tejano en Conjunto. And I think once you start doing that, I think you're going to be hearing more music played on the air, on the radio stations in Austin, because I think people are going to start
realizing
wanting it and, yeah. And remembering the old days.
That's right.
And
that's
we right. need to bring it back.
Seguro que sí. Yeah. And we're going to do that. Let's go ahead and take another break with the music of Mingo Saldivar here on Rancho Alegre Radio.
Soy como el pájaro negro. Mi destino fue fatal. Don't ando buscando un amor que hace tiempo yo he perdido. Me ha causado gran dolor, por eso borracho vivo. Mi bien, ¿por qué razón te alejaste? Quizás tú sufras también por este amor que dejaste. Regresa, regresa ya.
Here at Rancho Leader Radio, here with Mingo Saldivar. And Mingo, let's talk about something that here at Rancho Alegre we are leading the fight to bring more FM Conjunto Tejano stations to Texas and all over. Because believe it or not, there are small public radio shows of Tejano all the way in Washington. You know, and I'm sure you know that. You've been everywhere, the Pacific Northwest y todo. But do you feel that our industry needs more support from FM radio?
I think it does, definitely. And also, I would, on behalf of all the musicians listening to this program, I think we all want to thank you all for taking the time and to develop something like what you're doing right now.
Thank you.
The FM playing of conjunto music will definitely help promote more conjunto music, and it's organizations like the ones that you're responsible for, Baldomero, that will be very directly responsible to benefit this movement for conjunto music.
And the pleasure is ours. Como se dice, siempre decía mi abuelito, los hispanos necesitan una batalla.
And this one was a word.
Y mi abuelito de refugio, he was right, and this is a good fight. We pick our fights, and this one was a good fight that we wanna continue. Y también, Mingo, any words for our troops? We get a lot of listeners from Afghanistan and all, everywhere where the soldiers are, Iraq. They like our station, our playlist that features a lot of your music. Any words for them? Para los que están.
Well, I will say that God bless all our troops overseas and within the United States. Dios los bendiga a todos y los guarde. And thank them. I'd like to thank them for their service on behalf of myself, my family. Pues, muchos músicos que no tienen la oportunidad de decir lo que yo estoy diciendo, ¿verdad? On behalf of them, God bless all the troops.
Seguro que sí.
De todos los brazos del militario.
That's right. Y any parting words para los fans que te oyen en todo Texas, México, especialmente México y todo alrededor del mundo que nos escuchan.
Bueno, saludos naturalmente para todos, todas aquellas personas que han escuchado, las personas que han visto este grupo, Un Servidor Domingo Saldívar y Los Cuatro Espadas. Saludos y cariño para todos ellos. Un saludo muy cordial, un abrazo muy fuerte también para la gente de por allá de Monterrey, Nuevo León. Todas las colonias ya que visitamos en Monterrey, Guadalajara, y tuvimos el gusto de estar en Mexico City, el Distrito Federal, en el Centro de Culturas, es como the Carnegie Hall of Mexico.
Oh, okay.
The Carnegie Hall of Mexico City.
Right.
And we had the good fortune to participate in getting an award from there.
Fíjate.
And worldwide, to all the people that we've met during our tours, God bless them all. And we invite them to continue to listen to and tune in to Conjunto Music Forever.
That's right. So, gente, we've been here with Mingo Saldívar. Like I said, he was nice enough, he and his daughter Tricia, to invite us into their home to speak to us. And I hope you enjoyed the show. And believe it, we will be speaking to Mingo in the future. You know, we'll always be in touch with him. And anytime he's got something new or something going on, be sure to listen here for the latest on Mingo Saldívar. Mingo, muchas gracias por tu tiempo.
Al contrario, gracias a ustedes. God bless you. Y gracias porque vinieron aquí a nuestro hogar a hacer el interview. Adiós, que tengan feliz viaje para Austin.
Alrighty, so we'll see you next time here on Rancho Lere Radio.
This is Mingo Saldívar, and you're here with Baldomero, el Barrandero Cuellar, on Rancho Lere Radio.
Acompaño el pesar de tu abandono.
es muy